then suddenly our needs go down and your needs start to go up. This is the beauty of God. Now, the interesting thing about this word being devoted, again, if you looked at it in the Greek, we're not going to go too crazy on, but it's the only time you see this word just written just like this. You know the way we've got there, there, and there? Hopefully that's not new to you. You know the English language, you know what we have. Well, it's exactly the same in the Greek. They have, our English language, to be honest, is very finite. We haven't got a huge way of describing things, but in the Greek they have much more. And so when you look at this word, it's this word devoted. You don't see it anywhere else in the Bible, just this one place. And it's God trying to get us our attention to say, hey, I need you to be special with each other. I need you to be all in with each other. Because guess what? If you're not loyal to each other, those guys are going to do something that would make you not want to be with them. You know what I'm saying? It's why when people say, well, is there any need to get married? Absolutely. Because when you get married, you make this covenant agreement with each other between God and man. And you say, through thickness, through hard times, through bad times, through good times, we're going to stick this one together. And you can say, well, it's just a contract. No, it's deeper than that. It's a divine promise. It's a commitment that's between you and God. It's the paper's a formality. It's a heart thing. And you know what's so good about that? Because on the days where it's not easy, you know, on the days where they just do the tea wrong for you, for anybody's married, you know, some people are like, if you put the milk in first, I'll kill you, you know, or if you put the milk in too late, I kill you, or whatever. You know, people are fussy how the tea goes. That's why I don't even bother with tea. Don't ask me for tea. I don't do tea. I make tea for Nikki, but that's okay. She says I make a good cup of tea. Come on. But so we're weird like that. Church, well, we're Celt, we're like being more real than ever before, but we're weird like that. It's like the little things tip us off because we've got so many other things going on. And so we have to have that commitment. And it's why when you're married, it's another level. Obviously, if it's a Christian marriage, it's a godly marriage. So it means, hey, I know they've done the tea wrong, but you know what? I love them no matter what. I know they've done the most horrendous thing. Maybe it's something different, but through God's strength, because it's not just me and them. It's God's helping us in the middle. And that's why we need those depths of relationship, church. Otherwise, guess what happens? If it's just a kind of a friendship, stuff and I'm out of here. There's no commitment. And remember this, true love only works. That brotherly love is only ever needed when it's needed. You know? It's like, you don't need £1 million in the bank unless you've got £1 million to buy something. Like, unless you have to buy something in $1 million. You know? That's what I'm trying to say, church. Like, you could say, yeah, I got all the love in the world. But the first time a trial comes, you'll see what sort of love you've got. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll see it. And unfortunately, you know what's happened, church? And we got to be real with each other. There's too many times where churches have split, where people have left, and there's no sort of brotherly love whatsoever. There's no sort of devotion. And I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm not trying to pick anybody out. I'm just saying in general, because we got to talk about this stuff. Otherwise, we repeat the patterns of the past. But when we're devoted to God, and we love Him with our whole heart, and we commit to each other through the tears, through the good times, through the bad times, guess what? God is going to get the glory. Your life is going to grow. That other person's life is going to grow, and things are going to change. Anybody want to say amen to that? Amen. You see, if we could grasp how much the Lord is inside of us, you would realize that your presence in somebody else's life because of what God's doing in your life can make a difference. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Can make a difference. Like if you've got a friend in trouble and they call you, and if you've got the right mindset and the right heart, there's nothing you can't do. Can I tell you a quick story? You know, I'll share it even better later, but it just comes to mind. Yesterday or a couple of days ago, guy walks in the bank, says, I'm looking to get some counseling. Ian says, well, what's the deal? He gets chatting back and forth. And by the end of it, he goes, you know, you realize, Ian says to the guy, you realize if you want counseling, there's such a waiting list, it's going to take forever. Like 6, 7, 8 weeks, maybe even longer, could be 6 months. And the guy goes, well, could you counsel me? He says, sure, what do you want to talk about? And so they talk back and forth. Ian will share probably later on this one. But by the end of it, he meets with a person who could offer him some help. You know what I'm saying? And he wasn't quite sure of the help that he needed. He just knew he needed some help. And by the end of it, the power of God working through Ian, because Ian's just like me and you. He's just a normal person. But the power of God working through his life, at the end of it, that guy has helped. He's come to Jesus, gives life to Jesus there and then, didn't expect it, and he's coming to Alpha on Monday. Can we praise the Lord for that? Come on. Church, the Lord is not trying to make it complicated. He's just saying, would you be devoted? Would you be devoted? And I want you to think just for a few moments, what would it look like in your life to be devoted to the friends and family around you, or even the strangers? What would it look like to be devoted? It means all in. It means completely committed. It means a loyalty that cannot be easily broken. I'm dedicated. I'm committed to you. Church, it would change absolutely everything. Here's what the Lord said, because we've got to set the bar. What was Jesus' devotion or the Lord's devotion to us? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, when you know it off by heart, that he gives only son, his only begotten son, so we would die in our place. John 15:3 says it like this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Wow. Church, what I don't know what's going on in our world right now, but let me say this. Don't be surprised. Lost people do lost things. Come on. But if fine people start equipping themselves with lost people in the sense that we're just to see them, we've lost it. Amen. A lost person can't lose it. A lost person just does what they're designed to do, which is sin, death, destruction, corruption, lies, whatever. But what does a fine person do? Forgive, love, stand by, correct with love, come together with love, lay themselves down for their benefit. Come on, church, this is who we are. Lost people do lost things. Stop getting mad at the lost. Can we get an amen for that? There's no point. You don't get, like, our kids, can I tell you a fun story? This is not a fun story. It broke my heart. So the other day, we're at home, and Nikki was ready to go, and I'm ready to come home. And there's literally like a 2-3 minute gap between I coming through the door and then Nikki had to go. It was just one of those times we had to go. So Jessica's there, Bethany's there, don't phone the police, and Ruben's there, and he's 3. Okay, are we okay with that? But it was like literally 3-4 minutes. 3-4 minutes. Everyone was fine. But guess what happens? In the midst of that time, he decides to take my PS5 remote, which I don't even know why I have it because I haven't played it in years. And he takes it and he just whacks the TV with it because he just thinks it's a cool thing to do. So now that TV's done. It doesn't even work. Church, it doesn't even work now because he just decided, I'm going to break that thing. And I want to say to us that this is the craziness of life. But he's 3. He doesn't know any better. It just seemed cool to him, you know? You know, when he bites you, seems cool to him as well. You go, thank you. Thank you for the teeth marks. You know? But church, when we look at the world, if we're just going to commentate and go, the world's so bad, you know, what do we do? We're no better than anybody else. But if we can start to see with the eyes of God, we're devoted to the people around us, you know what we begin to see? You know what we begin to see? We begin to go, they've got bias potential. That person, if I could come around them, I can't save them, but I could love them. You see that group? I think I'm going to begin to pray for them because my prayers, the Lord says like this, the prayers of a righteous man or a woman availeth much. In other words, they do great things. So my job is not to bring commentary. My job is to bring compassion. Amen?
Amen.
Compassion. Jesus was just the highlight of compassion. Everywhere he went, he poured out his life. He showed compassion. He gave his best to people. He loved people. He went low so we could come high. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
2 greatest commandments. What does he say? Love the Lord with everything. In other words, be devoted to the Lord with everything you've got. Now, that one we probably still have a problem with. I still have a problem with. It's hard to love the Lord with everything. You know what? You get mad sometimes, or you get distracted, or you got other things going on. But then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. We read it a couple of weeks ago in church. And then the first question out of the disciples was, well, who's my neighbor? Everybody in this room. Everybody outside of this room, anybody you can come in contact with, anybody that comes on your path, you just love them. What kind of love? Brotherly love. What kind of love? Expensive love. What kind of love? Not cheap love. What kind of love? The love that I would do for them, what I would do for myself. The love that I would give them, what I would give to myself. The love that I would give to my best, like I want to give to them. Do you know what I'm saying, church? And,
yeah.
And here's the thing. You can't do this kind of love by yourself.
Mm.
You need God's help. Amen? You need God's help. You can't do this by yourself. So let me give you 4 quick points and then we're going to wrap up quickly because I want us to do communion.
Yeah.
Number 1, devotion means love it beyond convenience. 1 Peter chapter 4. Can I read this one for you? 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
Above all. What's above all? Like, how do you get above all? Like, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to be this, I'm supposed to be that. Maybe I'll read my Bible every day. I'll pray. Like, what if, church, what if we're getting concerned about the wrong things? In the sense of, I'm really focused, I'm going to get through the book of John this year. I'm really focused, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. All of that's great. But the point is not to read the Bible. The point is to do what the Bible says. Amen? This is what it says. Above all, love each other deeply.
Yeah.
Because love covers multitude of sin. Let's just frame it right a different way. Above all, love your brother, even though he's a heroin addict. I don't have a brother, I'm just making up examples. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. Above all, even though my boss is a nightmare, I'm going to love. You know, yeah, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make a difference. Above all, I'm going to come around people that need care and attention, because love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
Church, think about what this means. What if your light and your love, if expressed outwardly to the people around you, can actually wrap other people in like the right sort of bubble, the right sort of love, the right sort of blanket that would bring them into salvation, that would bring them into Jesus? Come on, because your love covers a multitude of sins. In some ways, the Lord's saying, remember what he did? He said, I will lay down my life for you so it will cover your sins. And when the Lord looks at you, what he will see is a spotless creation. That's what he looks at you, because the blood of Jesus covered you white as snow. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, the Lord is saying this. Now, I'm not taking away from Jesus, but in some ways, he's linking it up in the same language. And he's saying, your love can actually temporarily cover their sins.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, church. This is crazy that we can have that sort of effect on people. In other words, your love could cover up their sin just for a moment, that would allow them to meet a creator, that would allow them to meet a heavenly father, that their sin would be forgiven forever. This is the part that we get to play if we would be devoted to the Lord, if we would be devoted to each other, and we would begin to love each other in the way that Jesus did. See, real devotion doesn't walk away when it gets hard. Real devotion kicks in when it's hard. It kicks in when it's hard. If you were here last year, then you'll have heard the story about Dave and Davila, and the story still blows my mind, because when Dave was not at his best, his wife's love went to another level. His wife's love went to another level, and I'm convinced that the Lord used her and her love to bring him back. Not only, bro, how many times you OD? Like, just too many times to remember. Too many. But her love through the Lord just kept him alive, and now he's here as a mighty man of God. Amen. Can we raise a hand for that? Come on. Okay, quickly. It's the kind of love that covers faults, extends grace, and chooses commitment over comfort.
Yeah.
I'm committed to you. It's not about comfort for me. I'm committed to you. So do I love people? Here's the challenge. When it's messy, inconvenient, or when I get, oh, ready for this one? When I get nothing in return. You're like, do I have to love everybody except as well as my kids? You know, when I get nothing in return. This is the kind of love that the Lord is talking about. Number two, devotion means carrying each other's burdens. Well, we got to think about this thing just for a few moments. Otherwise, it just passes by. It's like, yeah, we know that. Yeah. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 2 says this. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. If you're not carrying other people's burdens, you're not fulfilling the law of Christ. Wow. What do we do with that, church? What do we do with that? We're to carry each other's burdens. Now, let's just lay it out just for a moment. The one thing I want to say is we have a temptation in our lives to go, if I just come around that person, I'm going to do it for them. I'm going to do it for them. Can I say this? You cannot change anybody. You can't save a soul. Amen. Just always remember that. Who is the Savior? Jesus. Just constantly remind yourself of that. Because the biggest trap of the enemy in a Christian's life is, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save him. And what ends up happening, this is how you know what has happened to you, is when you want it more than they want.
Yeah.
When you want it more than they want it. Where it keeps you up at night and they're sleeping they're living the dream. You know, when you have greater desire and passion for them than they do. And I want to say to you, don't do it. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to end up in the same mess, or even worse. because we can't see it. But what we can do is we can carry each other's burdens. So how does that look in a practical sense? It's like I find out that something's going on in Andrew's work, and he tells me on Sunday. And so instead of weighing me down, I say, bro, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm going to put it on my prayer list, and I'm going to carry it to the Lord every day this week. And I'm going to believe by next Sunday something's changed. When we do that, when we carry each other's burdens, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Wow. Church, that's it. Now, but here's the other side of doing it. Andrews, what's going on? And he goes, okay, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to clear my schedule. I'm going to be with you because in my mind, I'm going to save him. In fact, Andrews, I'll take your place. I'll take your place. No. We're to carry his burdens. We're not to take his place. He has to be in his place. Amen. And you have to be in your place.
Yeah.
So it's very subtle, but watch how the enemy wants you to do that. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to save you. Can't fix nobody. Can't save anybody. Can't do anything like that. God does that. Can't change nobody. It's hard enough to change yourself. They have to do it. But I can carry your burdens. So what's going on in your life? Now, I don't want to say because you've got enough going on. No, you don't understand. I'm designed to carry burdens. It actually makes me better at you. Amen? Can we just do that one as well? Because there's too many Christians that will say to me, no, I don't want to say anything because you've already got enough going on. What? You have no idea what's going on with me. You don't realize that by you sharing your burdens with me, it helps me fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? And vice versa, if I share my burdens with you, it helps you to fulfill the law of Christ. This is what we're designed for. Do you know what I'm saying, church? We are designed for this thing. This is what makes us healthy and strong. When you exercise, it makes you healthy and strong. When you eat on a regular basis, it makes you healthy and strong. You know, this is normal for us. So we got to carry each other's burdens. Let me tell you this. This is radical in a culture of individualism. It's just radical. Because in this life, it's just all about you. And so and they're against you and everything's a competition. But in Christ, we're devoted to each other. In fact, when you win, I feel excited. You know what I'm saying? When you share a burden with me, I get excited because I go, okay, that I'm going to help carry the load down. I'm going to help carry the load. I'm going to make this easier for my brother or for my sister. I'm going to bring it before the Lord. So who are you helping right now is the challenge. Who are you helping carry right now or have been content to carry only your own? You know, like in a sense of, have you got someone, like maybe you're carrying something for someone, you bring it before the Lord for them, or you just can't take care of your own stuff. I want to say to you, don't fall into that trap. Seek out people you can help. You know, there's loads of people around you. Ask what's going on in their lives and begin to pray for them. Being devoted means saying, your struggle is my struggle, your fight is my fight. You know what I'm saying? We bring it before the Lord. We bring it before Him. Point number three. Again, this time is moving. Devotion means encouraging and building up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. Wow. Encourage one another and build each other up. So what does that mean? Well, it could mean as simple as this. Nikki shared last night, I really loved your preaching. That really spoke to me. Oh, thank you so much. Or Mark shares at the table. Oh, Mark, that really spoke to me when you shared. Or when Ross just really spoke to me. Chelsea, your singing just broke my heart today. You know, it's that sort of encouragement. Or could it be just as simple as this, an encouragement for just being who they are rather than what they do? Hey, I just love to see you. Oh, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't always have to be you did a good job as if performance gets us the right words. No. Yeah. It could be just because I see you. Hey, I'm just so glad. Can I, let me just be real for a moment. I am so glad to see everybody here this weekend. I really am. It encourages me so much. If that encourages you, be encouraged. We were built for this stuff, church. We were built for, you know what the enemy loves to do? Tell you the opposite. You're rubbish. Nobody even wants you here. Like, what have you got to offer? Nobody even likes you. You're sticking out like a sore thumb. Lies, 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 lies. Amen?
Amen.
It's not true. What did we look at 3 weeks ago? Guys, you were sent here by God. Sent here. Can that be an encouragement to you? You were sent here by God. He designed you to be here. Whatever the enemy says is lies. He's never spoken truth in his life. Come on, encouragement. Either your words are going to build somebody up or tear somebody down. Build somebody up, tear somebody down. You know what the worst thing is? That you neither tear anybody up or you build anybody up. It's just nothing. How you? I'm all right. I don't know if that does anything for anybody. You know, it's like, it's... Oh. If nothing else, it probably defaults to discouragement. You know, defoster discouragement. What was the little saying? If you've nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. But that's only part of the story. Think about something to share. I'm so glad because I'm alive today. You know, maybe for some of us, we have to practice this until we get it. When I get up in the morning, okay, get, drink your coffee, whatever you drink, you get your oil, read your Bible, and then decide what's a happy thing you're going to say. Like, what's something positive you're going to say to somebody instead of like, oh, looks like it's going to rain today. You know, it's like, we're already discouraged from the first step. Like, oh, my day's terrible. How's yours going to be? Oh, okay. Probably terrible too. You know, you've already prophesied to yourself what your day is going to be like. Come on, we have to practice this stuff. If we don't practice it, if it doesn't come by nature, by natural to you, then you practice it. I want to, yeah. And even if it does, practice being an encourager. You go, well, how do I do it? Read the word of God and start to find other people. You know what a simple thing could be? Again, you're going to think some of these things are cheesy, but until you try them or receive them, you'll be blown away. You could share biblical characters with people. You know, like, let's be positive ones, please. Like, you know. We're not doing Goliath or Barabbas or anything like that. You know, we're going, you're like Peter to me. You know, you're a guy that the Lord can build a church on. You know, like, you're like Mary. You're just devoted to the Lord's work.
Yeah.
You're just devoted to the Lord's. You just remind me of King David. You know, you've had a few ups and downs, but you're a man after God's own heart. You know, like, what difference would that make? Like, what would that be like? Come on, guys, let's be real for a minute. What would it feel like on Wednesday morning next week if somebody out of church that you maybe don't even really know that much sent you a 30-second voice memo of just how much you blessed them? Like, would that not be a game changer? Like, maybe some of you are getting a million of them and you're sick of getting them. I don't know. But I would imagine that would bless your week, your month, and possibly even your year. What if somebody just, what if you just decided, I don't know, let's go super old school, like, you know, not go pigeons, but let's say you got a piece of paper and you wrote something down and you brought it on Sunday and give it to someone. Said, hey, I had this in my heart, I want to bless you. Like, who wouldn't be encouraged with that? Like, would that not help your mental health? Like, would that not pick up your spirit? Like, would that not start to drive unity within the church and suddenly the Spirit of God would start to move like that before? Because where the Lord's honored, he honors. Like, it's just simple stuff. It's not even science, it's just spiritual. Like, if you honor the Lord, he honors you. I want to challenge the church. What are you going to do that's going to bring encouragement to somebody? Would it be a letter? Would it be a note? Would it be a text message? And please, don't get into this whole thing of, well, nobody's all to me. You know, start it. You start it and watch what happens next. But what would it feel like if you got a tiny note of encouragement on Wednesday? And who knows what Wednesday is? You're going to maybe the toughest meeting of your life. You're maybe going to the toughest test of your life. You're maybe going through the toughest season of your life. And somebody who doesn't even know you sends a message to say something like, I think you're great and I'm praying for you. Hopefully that's not a challenge. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're not trying to get a life partner here. It's just to be encouraging. But come on, church. We need to do something. We got to make a little bit of effort. A little bit ever, because if not, we're going to put our attention into a whole bunch of other things, that don't really matter. But if you would build each other up in the things of God, gosh, you would see a healthier body, a healthy church. Encourage one another and build each other up. Now, here's the question I just want to, before I move on, just the last point. Does if you're reading 1 Corinthians 5:11, does it add a question mark? Has anybody got a translation of that? A question mark? Anybody got that? Anybody got one that says, like, question mark, like as if there's a get out clause?
What is it?
No, it's a rhetorical question. There's no question mark unless you wrote it in. Come on, there is none. The fact is, it should be just the default. We should just encourage one another and build each other. This is just what we do. It's just what we do. It's just who we are. You go, well, it's not who I am. Yeah, because here's the thing. Your spirit was saved in an instant, but unless you do a little bit of work in transforming your mind will still live like the old woman or the old man. Do you ever notice that? But if you get right and you read the word of God and you get right to the right people, you're going to change. You are going to change. If you get, like, here's how I'll do it. If I get around you, I'm going to become more like you. If you get around me, you're going to become more like me.
Mm.
So we got to make sure the friends are right. We got to make sure we've got the right sort of circles. But if you don't have them, you start creating it. You start speaking life where there's only ever death. And there's one thing that life does, it brings life. Like, if it's only, like, it stands out. Life transforms things. So we got to be people. You know what I would love? And this is what the Lord would love. And this is what I encourage for this. What if, again, your focus was less on, I'm going to read the Bible all year, and just, you're going to get beat up with that and all sorts of different things. I want you to read the Bible in a year. But what if it was similar, and you just said, I'm going to encourage at least one person a week for the next 4 weeks. Just even one time. That would be 4 people at the end of this month. It's probably 4 more than you've ever done in a month before. That's crazy. If you're different than that, double it up. If this is natural to you, go even more. There's no limit to encouragement. Not whatsoever. Okay, last one. Or let me just say this. If you ever heard the character Barnabas in the New Testament, he was called a son of encouragement. People are convinced Paul, who wrote the 2/3 of the New Testament, so he pretty much wrote all of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul, a mighty man of God. But it says this, that Barnabas encouraged Paul. Here's what some people believe. That Paul would have never been himself, could never have done all that he did without the encouragement of Barnabas.
Wow.
What if you can't be everything that God's designed you to be without the encouragement of somebody else? I'm convinced it's true. I got so much encouragement when I was in my late teens, early 20s, when I really, really needed it. And I'm convinced it allowed me to become the man of God that the Lord has turned me into. I said it with somebody last night, you would never have picked me at 18, 19 to do what I'm doing right now. You could never have seen it. But some people started to encourage me with the eyes of God, and that allowed me to step into fully what the Lord's done through my life. So who are you going to encourage this week? Be dedicated to someone. Encourage them. Don't just tell them stupid stuff. Encourage them. Last point, number 4. Devotion means unity and humility. Wow. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'm just going to pick out one little bit in the middle of it because time's going to go, and I have to get to communion in 1 second. Worship team, let's go. In humility, value others above yourselves. When was the last time that you valued anybody above yourself? Maybe you do that all the time because you don't like yourself. So you think everybody else is better. Well, that's the first thing you got to fix, because that's not helpful. But maybe you're at the other end of the spectrum and you're like, and even in that, there can be other things at play. But we're to value others above ourselves. We're to show humility to other people above ourselves. In other words, I'm gonna honor you. I'm going to promote you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. Remember, we're not people that thinks things. We do think things, but it always leads to something. So it's no good just thinking about, hey, I just want to let you know I was thinking about you this week. Well, that's lovely. But we're always people that get to action. Most people that get to action. So I'm not just thinking about it, I'm praying for you. That's action. I'm not just praying about you, but God's led me to do this, or I've got this for you, I've got that for you. We're people that respond to action. Here's a little challenge. I'm nearly ready to finish. But do I come to church for me, or do I come to church for other people? It's a great question. It's a great question to ask your heart. Do I come to church for me, or do I come for other people? We'll just ask the question in light of Jesus. Did he come to earth for himself, or did he come to earth for us? And then, of course, then when Jesus finishes and he goes, he says, you're going to do greater things than me. And in other words, you're going to be just like me, but even greater, because the Holy Spirit's going to be upon you. And so what if there's a little change for us that we have to make, where God's just going to reveal to us that I'm coming to church too much for myself. I need to come for others. And if we think a tiny bit deep before we go to communion, if we're only ever coming for ourselves, then what happens when you just need a rest day? And if church isn't rest for you, you don't come. You know what I'm saying? It's that simple. Or you've just had a hectic week, and so Wednesday night prayer time has come too quickly for you, but you're not going for others. See, you there's nobody relying on you, so it's just you, just going for you. So it's just like, yeah, I deserve to chill out. Because I'm just going for me. And again, you decide what it is, but as we're becoming more and more Christ-like, as we're becoming more and more changed, I am convinced that we're going to lean towards for others more than for ourselves. And what I'm totally convinced of, church, is that the more that you serve others through the Lord in grace, you will find that all of your needs are taken care of. Every single one of them. I'm not advocating abuse. I'm not advocating burnout. I'm not advocating any of that. I'm just saying, as you would become more Christ-like, you would find that the grace of God would enable you to be more than you can imagine. More than you can imagine. It's the thing that we misunderstand a lot about grace. Grace has two massive factors to it. The first one is, it's the grace of God that allowed us to come back. You got to think of it like this. Let's say you had a train track and you had a train. The train falls off the train tracks. The grace of God allowed that train to come back on the train tracks. But now it's stopped and it can't go. So what's the point of it being back on the train tracks? It's the grace of God that enables that train now to go back better and faster than ever. That's what the grace of God does for your life. He doesn't just help you get back on the horse. He doesn't help you just to get back into life. He then strengthens your life so you can become more than you could ever possibly imagine or think. Come on, he did not save you and leave you. He saved you to get you better and better and better and better because he knows who you truly are. And here's the thing. He realizes that sin in this life is not conducive for you to become the best version of you. It needs to be rooted and established in Christ's love. And when you're in that, you've no idea what you can do. No idea. The only most beautiful picture I can think of is someone who was abandoned as an orphan and then was brought into a loving home. Once they get over that initial stage of, will they keep me? Will they abandon me like everybody else? Once they get over that stage, there's no limits to what that person can become. They can become a doctor, a president, a prime minister, a football. They can become anything. Because once they realize, okay, they're not going to abandon me. I'm safe here. Then they can begin to grow. They can begin to become anything. They become unlimited in their potential. It's the same with us, church. The grace of God has saved us. And the grace of God is going to propel us into all that we can be. Okay, time is gone. I'd love to say more, but we don't have time. So can we stand together? John 13:35. Last verse to read over your heart, then we're going to go to communion. Says this. John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you're devoted to one another, people will know that you're my disciples. If we would live as the men and women of God, guess what the world's going to see? They're going to see Jesus through your life, and it's going to radically change them. Church, if we could get devoted to each other, if we could begin to love each other in a fresh way, in a new way, it's going to change everything. And as we go forward into this next year or so, and hopefully we're believing and praying, and also lining up for building projects and starting all those different things, and as people will begin to come, and we're starting to see people in record numbers coming to our church, both during the week and on the Sundays. We need the body to get stronger. Amen? And it's not going to be one or two. It's going to be everyone playing their part. So if we come to communion, let the Lord do something fresh in you and your heart. Mm. Let the Lord do something extraordinary. Let him reset. Let him heal. Let him strengthen. And let him anoint. Amen? Yeah. So Lord, I pray today as we come to communion that you would anoint us and bless us. That you would encourage us. And I pray as we would take of the bread and take of the cup, that we'd remember what you did for us. You laid down your life so we could become even better every single day. You did not lay down your life just so that we could be whatever. No, you laid down your life so we could become like you. You laid down your life so we could become the mighty men and women that you'd always dreamed and always planned for us to become. Lord, as we take communion, let us remember the sacrifice. Let us remember the blood that was poured out. Let us remember your body that was broken. As we come today, let it be a moment that would forever mark us and change us and shape us so that we would never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Guys, when you're ready, let's come. We're going to do communion. Here's what I would love. I need like four helpers. Could I get four helpers? I just want two people to help give out this. Dimitri, come, and then two people to help us. Three more. Anybody else want to help us? You're literally just going to serve the guys that come. Mark, thank you so much. Nathan, there's gluten-free as well, so please come and get it on this side. You got it? Brilliant. Nathan, you're going to be the gluten-free man. There you go. Right, guys, come. And I want this time, yes, serve these guys. Come forward and get it, church. Come on, let this be a devotion time, a love time, an encouraging time.
Cherry crops on your back.